Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
We want to bring to the program Jason Shanker, president of Prestige Economics. Jason, how are you doing? You're here with Michelle Meyer from Bank of America.
Hi, it's good to be here today.
No problem. So, Jason, what's your outlook for this year in the U.S. economy?
You know, I think it's going to be relatively close to what we saw for growth over this past year. My GDP forecast for the year is 2.4% in the U.S. So, you know, it's a story of modest growth and modest improvements that we see continuing in the labor market, in the housing market, and in GDP in general.
So give me your outlook on unemployment. What do you expect to see? Where do you expect the unemployment rate to be at the end of the year, and what are you expecting per month in terms of jobs gains?
You know, I think that it's interesting. I think there is some upside that's been introduced by the Fed's actions on the housing side. So I do think we could see jobs that have hovered over the last couple of years around the 150,000 level be a little bit stronger than that, maybe closer to the 175,000 level for the year. The unemployment rate slowly going down, still for the year averaging around 7.5% or a little below that by the end of the year. So, you know, it's, again, the unemployment rate gradually going down and the number of jobs gradually increasing throughout the year.
So are you worried that the agreement to avoid going over the fiscal cliff will result in a slower pace of growth in terms of employment here earlier in the year? Or do you think that there's enough momentum in the economy that we'll just power past it?
No, I think there's pretty good momentum. And we saw that in the December jobs report. You saw both manufacturing and construction had very large gains. And I think that's big and that's positive, and we're going to see that going forward. And that's indicative of some health and some upside because, of course, the December jobs did factor in already some of the fiscal cliff risks that had been on the table and people were aware of. And obviously, they manifested themselves in financial markets much later in the month as we got closer to the deadline. But I know, you know, when we last spoke, which was at the beginning of December up there in New York, you know, this was something that we had talked about extensively. So it was already on people's radar. In general, the level of 2.4% GDP, 7.6% unemployment for the year, that's already got the deceleration baked in. And these are numbers I'd already expected that there would be a drag. I think without the increase in taxes that we saw as part of the fiscal cliff deal, we'd be looking at GDP closer to 3% instead of in the close to 2.5% range.
So I'd be remiss if we didn't talk oil and minerals. What's your outlook for the oil markets this year?
Well, you know, again, seeing higher prices, especially for WTI, you know, right there you're looking at that Brent WTI spread to narrow as more of those barrels begin to flow down to the Gulf Coast. Higher prices than this year for both, but much more so for WTI. My average price forecast for Brent for 2013 is $113.50 a barrel, so not too much higher than where we are now. But for WTI, it's $102.25, so quite a bit higher than where we are now, but still, for the full year, a sizable discount below Brent that we see narrowing this year and narrows even further next year until really reaching parity in 2015.
So I want to bring Michelle Meyer into the conversation. I don't know if you guys have met before, but Michelle's a senior economist at Bank of America. Michelle.
Hi, Jason. Nice chatting with you. Hello. This morning.
Good to be.
I would have to say on your oil price forecast, presumably, and it does seem like you have a more optimistic view on the U.S. economy, certainly, than we do, even more so than the consensus. Is that also where you come out on the global economy?
You know, the global economy, it's interesting. I see things as being positive. This year I was much more pessimistic and more accurate than a lot of others about how global GDP would play out. Next year I see it marginally better than this year. So while global GDP this year is around the 3% level, you know, I think next year it's around 3.3%. So a little better than this year. I think a lot of my optimism around oil prices versus a lot of folks in the consensus and peers that I meet with at OPEC meetings, which I'd met with just last month, much more optimistic than they are. But, of course, we've seen oil prices move a lot higher in the past month. Folks were expecting an absolute big crash right now in oil prices, and we haven't seen that. And I think people are really underestimating the emerging market transportation fuels demand. I mean, you have to imagine, this was a horrible year for Chinese growth, and they added a very large amount of additional daily oil demand in the market. It was on the transportation fuel side, and that's going to continue to rise no matter what. So I think even though we've got this big, you know, this big whatever renaissance in oil out of the U.S., that's not nearly as big a story as the long-term continued increases in oil demand in emerging markets, because their per capita levels are just so low.
And Jason, where do you come out on the debate about the relationship between oil prices and monetary easing? Across the globe, the amount of liquidity that's being added to the global economy, what do you think the relationship that is with oil prices?
Well, this is, in my estimation, the positive correlation between accommodative monetary policy and oil prices is also very high. And this is also something that I see as being supportive for oil prices. You know, we see, I expect the dollar to end 2013 weaker than it ended 2012. The Fed's balance sheet is expanding at a breakneck pace, and we still see emerging market demand for oil rising. And the Saudis have indicated that if the world is in an oversupply situation, they can tweak the spigot a little bit. So I'm not really too concerned on the supply side about there being this oversupply that crunches the market. There's also a lot of concerns right now about what's that there could be problems out of supply in Iraq. So these things are kind of keeping and constraining supply. And then you've got monetary policy and the pricing mechanism of the dollar boosting prices. And, of course, there's still the wild card, that red line we talked about with Iran a few months ago that we somehow haven't been talking about for a while. That story's not over yet.
Jason, so Michelle and I have the view, I think, from Midtown Manhattan, finance, banking, Wall Street. You have the privilege of not having to be here every day. You get to see the real economy as it is from the great state of Texas. When you talk to your clients, what's their perspective? What are their impressions on the economy?
Well, you know, and I would tell you this, that I'm based in Texas. I have clients all over the country and all over the world that are on the corporate side. So they're actually, as you point out, not just in finance, but they're usually corporates. You know, the perspective is one that I articulated in the last segment, which is really that 2013 is going to be an okay year. It'll probably be about as good, a little bit better globally than we saw 2012. But my clients are really excited, really looking forward to 2014, because all of the monetary policy that's accommodative, all the stuff that the Eurozone is, their issues that they're working through this year, that's hopefully going to be resolved towards the end of the year, should restore some confidence there. And you've really got a lot of the right ingredients for some global economic upside for 2014. And that's what my clients are really excited about.
When you take a look at the policy landscape, how do you go about organizing a forecast in an environment where policy is just a dominant, not pricing action?
Well, you know, I think it's a lot of it's being honest with myself and with my clients. And I know when I was up there at the beginning of December, my expectation for the fiscal cliff was that, you know, they would drag it out till the very last second, and that you would have a short-term, temporary, partial solution to kick the can down the road a little bit. And that's exactly what we've gotten. And, you know, that's just predicated on past experience is going to dictate future action. And while those of us in finance land are accustomed to saying, you know, past performance is not indicative of future returns, I think on the policy landscape, it sort of is. So, you know, I think we're going to get more of the same in one permutation or another moving forward, that there's just not a lot of political will to seriously address really, really important issues that would hinder the reelection of the politicians addressing those issues.
What are your expectations on the resolution of the debt ceiling and automatic sequestration?
You know, I think they're going to drag it out to the last second, and there's going to be some other kind of partial thing. They've got to chunk this thing down, and they're going to deal with it a little bit, a little bit. They're going to drag up till the very last second. You know, I would say that's what they've done before. It's what they're going to do moving forward. The American population, investors, campaign contributors, don't want this stuff to turn into a major recession. They don't want this stuff to bring the U.S. economy to a screeching halt. But there are some real polarized interests here, and the only way to get it done is to really drag it out till the very last second. The political brinkmanship, that's how deals get done, and the stakes are very high right now, and the issues are very big, and so, you know, you can expect some of the same market volatility and some of the same pessimism that seeps in just before it gets resolved, and then you get the exuberance thereafter. And that's a pattern that, from a trading perspective, there's probably some good money to be made here, because the patterns are fairly repetitive in nature. You just have to have an iron stomach to be able to hold through and really believe that they will do it at the very last
time. So, Michelle, you've indicated that the B of A calls, you've penciled in a 2% fiscal drag for the year, which assumes that some of the sequestration that's on the books will happen. Are you concerned that going forward, perhaps in contrast to Jason, that, you know, we've entered an era of austerity where fiscal drag is just going to be a permanent part of the landscape?
You know, that's a good question. I think that ultimately we have to see an unwinding from this incredible period of stimulus. Remember that we've seen unprecedented fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus for that matter as well. So ultimately we will have to see that handoff from the public sector to the private sector, which means we'll be seeing fiscal tightening, and we'll be seeing eventually, not for a while, but eventually monetary tightening as well. The hope is that it comes in an environment where the private economy is doing well enough where it can offset some of the tightening that we're going to see from the government.
You know, for those of you out there with Bloomberg terminals, if you go to CliffGo, which is a terminal function, you can see that our BGov unit has actually set up a way to look at what sequestration looks like. And for this calendar year, that's just the remainder of the 2012-2013 fiscal year, we've got $54 billion on the book. But if you begin to look out into 2014, 2015, 2016, we've got $96 billion next year, $102 billion in the fiscal year after that, and then the 2015-2016 fiscal year, another $104 billion. So this is why we get the tension, the absolute policy tension over what to do about what's left of the fiscal cliff, that specifically not just a debt ceiling, but really the era of austerity that I think has arrived here in the United States. Now, Jason, we got about a little less than a minute left. What's the big surprise we should expect to see this year?
The big surprise, I think the upside could be housing. I think right now everyone's entered the year with a really, really pessimistic view of things. There's a lot of pessimism around the fiscal cliff. I was never worried about it. It was going to get done. Sequestration, they're going to drag it out. There are a couple things that are going to be trimmed. You know, I don't think it's all going to go through the way it's slated to. I think there's going to be some more deals made. And so what looks like a big chopping becomes really, they're just going to be around the edges. And I think housing's the upside surprise. And if 2014 is the market that my corporate clients think it's going to be, the trade is going to be, you probably want to be in the market in equity markets long, probably in the middle of the year. Same thing for most industrial commodities.
With a timely, optimistic view, that's Jason Shanker, president of Prestige Economics. Thanks for spending the half hour with us, Jason.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.